Hearing is conditional use number 1788, Artesian Water Company Incorporated.
Mr. Wheatley, before we start with this application, we received a letter from Mr. Schrader requesting that this application and conditional use 1789 be presented at the same time. If you do choose to do that, you would have to act on them on each case separately, though.
Okay, and I don't see a problem with that, to have the presentation consolidated, so I will read both of them into the record at this point then. Conditional use number 1788, Artesian Water Company, Inc., and conditional use number 1789, Artesian Water Company, Inc. For those of you here with an interest in it, the presentation for these will be consolidated, but they will be voted on separately when we get around to voting.
Conditional use 1788's application of Artesian Water Company Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a regional water facility to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.68 acres more or less, lying at the easterly end of a private road known as Meadow Creek Drive, 2,200 feet east of Route 5 and 100 feet north of the center line of Beaver Dam. Conditional use 1789's application of Artesian Water Company to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a regional wastewater facility to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 10.76 acres more or less, lying east of Route 5 on both sides of Meadow Creek Drive and 2,000 feet north of Route 9 at Harbison. On May the 12th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Both of these applications are referenced in the booklet. The exhibit book includes a copy of the conditional use agreement, an owner's agreement letter, a water service agreement letter, Office of Drinking Water approval, Denrec well permits, conditional use plans, properties requesting utility service maps, a list of CPCN applications, Artesian Water Resource Management, elevation of proposed buildings and existing facilities, and proposed findings of facts and conditions of approval for both of these applications. We received an agency comment on each from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division for conditional use 1788. They advised that the site is not located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that Ordinance 38 requirements are not required, that there are no system connection charge credits for the project, the project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sewer district. Sussex County Engineering Department has no objection to the regional water facility proposed for the utility parcel in a single-family subdivision, and a concept plan is not required. Also from the Utility Planning Division for CU 1789, they note that the site is not located in the proposed or current county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. The site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. Ordinance 38 is not required. There are also no system connection charge credits available. Project's not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district. Conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required, and they're requesting that the following conditions should be applied to this application. One, a regional plan shall be submitted to the Sussex County Engineering Department that shows all of the areas and or subdivisions to be served by the proposed regional facility. This plan shall be updated and resubmitted on an annual basis, and included shall be a menu of ED use plan to be served in each area or subdivision to ensure that capacity exists. Number two, the facility shall not receive wastewater from any property or parcel that is located within a Sussex County sewer planning area or sewer district, and that a concept plan is not required, and that was signed by John Ashman. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you.
And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I'm representing the Artesian Water Company in conditional use 1788 and Artesian Wastewater in 1789. I've asked for the consolidation of these two applications because the applications are both situated on the same site within a project known as the Trails of Beaver Creek. And I would point out as we begin this process tonight that there are already existing wells and wastewater treatment plant sites located within the utility lot, the Trails of Beaver Creek, and that they are currently serving the Trails of Beaver Creek. What we have proposed for you this evening is the regionalization of both the water and the wastewater treatment facilities under the conditional use statute. The water application will be located on the utility parcel, which is 1.688 acres. The wastewater management application 1789 is also similarly located on the utility parcel, but there are two additional sites, which are the wastewater disposal areas 1 and 2, which are made up of two separate tracts of 5.165 acres and 5.598 acres. In both cases, the property is currently situated in an AR1 agricultural residential district. The current use of the property is, as I described, an existing water plant or an existing wastewater treatment plant. Under conditional use statute 115-22, the utility is required to come here this evening to request the regionalization of this public utility, the buildings, the treatment plants, the storage facilities that will be used for each of these projects. Under the current comprehensive plan, this site, the utility site and the wastewater disposal sites, are located in a low-density area where the utilization of on-site water and wastewater systems for any purposes and the administrative visitor and maintenance facilities is encouraged or permitted. And secondly, this site and the two wastewater sites are in level 4 areas under the state strategies for spending. The irony or the paradox is that the state is saying that it doesn't want to spend any money for infrastructure in a level 4 area, and in fact my clients are here agreeing that they shouldn't spend any money for infrastructure. That's why they're in business. They would like to be able to provide the wastewater and the water facilities that are available. We have consolidated all of the exhibits and the various reports into the same notebook. You will notice that one is identified as water exhibits. It's a little difficult to find, but it is in the front. And about halfway back, 1789, the wastewater exhibits are also located. Of perhaps the greatest importance to you and the commissioner with interest in this area, there is an exhibit. Try the right one. 7, which shows the current site of the utility parcel within the proposed or within the Trails of Beaver Creek, and there also is contained, excuse me, it was Exhibit 6. Exhibit 7 shows the various water, potential wastewater, and potential water and wastewater combined service areas. I note with some interest the comments of Mr. Ashman, because when I met with him and Mr. Izzo this afternoon and asking why they hadn't commented, they said they didn't know where we were proposing to serve or not serve, and I pointed out that over the course of the last several years, Artesian and perhaps the other utility, Tidewater, periodically appeared before this body, and in each case, whether it was by me or by Mr. Fuqua or by Mr. Willard, we always presented maps showing what the service areas were, and I was fascinated by the comment that they didn't seem to know or that they wanted reports. But having said that, if that is a condition of the approval, we will certainly abide by that. I have with me three gentlemen this evening who are prepared to comment on these two applications. The first is Scott Pender to my left, who will be addressing water-related issues. To my right and sitting in the second row is Brian Carbaugh, who will be dealing with wastewater And happily, Mr. Barry Price, who works in the water division and has experience with wastewater, is riding shotgun and is planning to have no comments, but will provide backup data should it be necessary. He's the happiest one of the three.
I thought maybe you brought him along to drink the water.
Well, I'm not getting into the next application, but certainly if you want to ask any one of these three gentlemen, I would be surprised if they weren't prepared to answer any questions you have about wastewater. With those thoughts in mind, I'd like to call Mr. Pender to the podium. And I would point out also for the record, this is Mr. Pender's first appearance before this body, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to ask him a couple questions in order to qualify him, if you will.
I would appreciate it if you would, for the record.
Yeah. Your full name, Mr. Pender?
Scott Marlin Pender.
Did you just make that up?
No.
You really had to think about that.
I was thinking M or Marlin.
Yeah, we're wondering about you already.
We've got to move on to sidewalks and toilets. Let's see where we can go with it. Are you a college graduate, Mr. Pender?
Yes, I am.
And where did you graduate from college, Mr. Pender?
Morgan State University, Baltimore,
and
Maryland.
What did you get your degree in?
Civil engineering.
And are you currently a registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware?
Not currently.
And will you be one soon?
I sure do hope so.
And what is your current status under the professional engineer you want?
Engineer in training, EIT. I sat the exam this past April.
Okay.
And are you currently employed by Artesian?
Yes, currently.
And how long have you been employed by Artesian?
Combined, almost 6 years.
And have you participated in the design of this and other water facilities for Artesian?
Yes, I have.
And for that matter, have you been involved in any of their wastewater treatment facilities?
Yes, I have.
If you will, Mr. Pender, would you describe for the benefit of the commission the site that we're referring to for the water project that's being regionalized, or we're asking for regionalization of?
The water plant site it's all located on the utility parcel. As you'd mentioned, it's a 1.688-acre site. We currently operate a temporary water treatment facility on the site with treatment and booster and storage tank. The site's located within phase three of the Beaver Creek development, which is located about 2,500 feet north of the intersection of Route 5 and Route 9, that's Harbison Road and Lewis-Georgetown Highway. It currently serves the phase one and two of the trails of Beaver Creek.
If this application were granted, Mr. Pender, what would the proposed use be and how would it affect this particular utility site?
The proposed use, and I guess for clarification, the permanent treatment plant that's shown on the drawings is needed even for the future growth of the development. It's not in order to regionalize. Where the temporary facility right now is getting to capacity, and we're in the process of constructing a permanent facility there to add additional capacity to the site, treatment and distribution capacity. In order to regionalize the facility, in conjunction with we have a facility located not far from here called called Island Farm, where there'd be an elevated storage tank for additional fire protection. This site will be connected to our regional system in this area, but it would provide service to this development and the future phases of this development, in addition to the site. Potential sites located on the indicated on the map.
And if this conditional use were granted and then were combined with the Island Farm site, this provides you with the benefit for water service known as looping. Is that correct?
Yes, redundancy, additional fire protection. It's just that's the way we want to build.
If you don't mind, would you step over to the site plan that we have, and if you would, please, would you describe what will be on site that will relate to the existing and to the newly proposed water facilities that would go on here?
All right. Currently, there's an existing temporary treatment building. It's a small shed, 12 by 16. There's an existing groundwater storage tank. That is a 132,000-gallon tank. There's an existing temporary booster station, also a shed 12 by 20. The two sheds will be removed. The ground storage tank will stay, and the proposed water treatment building will stay.
Will there be any storage of chemicals on site?
There will be minimal storage of chemicals. We typically try to have a 30-day supply of chemicals. It would be sodium hypochlorite for disinfection, a phosphate-based corrosion inhibitor, and lime for pH adjustment.
Is this a site that would require employees to be on site 24 hours, 7 hours a day, or is it an unmanned site?
It will be an unmanned facility. We'll probably have an operator in there twice a week, maybe.
And the operator would go there for what purpose?
Just checking settings. Obviously, if we had an alarm, the operator would go if there's an alarm. But on normal routine, he would be checking settings, taking readings, checking the chemicals.
You indicated if there were an alarm. Do I take it that there is some sort of monitoring system that would be in place here that would give warning to the company?
Yes.
If there was an emergency on site?
Yes, we'll have there will be a SCADA system here that will have automatic remote monitoring and alarming capabilities.
And would there be any emergency generation system in order to continue pumping the water to the service area?
Yes.
And that would also be on this site?
Yes.
I did want to go back and ask you a couple questions about the capacity of the wells and the water storage facilities on site. Could you describe that for us, please, as to how much water would be extracted from the ground and how much you would be able to store on site and what your pumping capacities are?
All right. Currently, there are two wells. We are actually applying for an allocation of combined of 500 gallons per minute each. 500 gallons per minute, each well producing 250. One well is good for 300, the other is good for about 425. We don't need that additional capacity. The current treatment building is designed for 100 gallons a minute right now, treatment capacity. We have a booster capacity of up to 500 gallons a minute out of the temporary booster skid. The permanent facility will be designed for initially 250 gallons a minute of treatment up to 500 gallons a minute of treatment with a booster capacity of up to 1,000 gallons per minute.
And this will be adequate for purposes of providing potable water to all of your service area and for fire protection?
Yes.
Going back to the storage of chemicals and whatever is on site, is there any containment facility, or is there any potential harm that could happen if there was a spill by reason of the chemicals or any other material stored on the site?
There is secondary containment on the sodium hypo. There is no harm of a spill or any residents being harmed by a spill. If there was a spill in sodium hypo, it would be contained in the secondary containment. The lime, there's no secondary containment required, and the phosphate-based corrosion inhibitor, it would have a secondary containment as well.
And as far as the on-site water is concerned, if it were spilled, it would have no deleterious effect on the ground? If you would, please, looking at the chart that's sitting on the floor, if you could put that up on the easel for us, would you point out for the benefit of the commission, please, the either proposed water areas or the certificated areas?
Everything in blue is potential water service areas, and we have CPCNs for everything in blue and everything in red. Everything in red, we actually have CPCNs for water and wastewater. So these are all potential customers or potential customers that could receive water from this site. This site, the Island Farm site I was talking about, is actually just along Route 9 here. So these two will be connected to service this general area.
And for the benefit of the commission, and without asking Mr. Pender the question, I'll lay this one up on the table, and that is that Exhibit 8 does show the parcels which have either expressed an interest in or water service for the various certificated areas that belong to Artesian. And the last question, I'm going to ask my own last question. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Pender. If you'll stand down, we'll let Mr. Carball take a shot at it, and we'll bring them all back up for any questions you all may have. And of course, at the end of the presentation, Mr. Price will drink the glass of water that you want him to drink. Well, you look familiar. Who are you?
My name is Brian Carball. I'm a professional engineer. I'm the director of engineering design for Artesian Water Company and wastewater. And I do a lot of wastewater work.
And you've previously testified before this body in your capacity with Artesian as a wastewater engineer, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Would you describe, if you will, please, for the benefit of the commission, what's going on this particular utility site as it relates to wastewater treatment and disposal?
On the wastewater side, on this particular utility parcel, there is an existing wastewater treatment facility. The wastewater facility is the shaded building here. We currently have a first phase wastewater treatment system in there with a capacity to treat wastewater up to 50,000 gallons per day. On the secondary parcel, which I apologize, we don't have mounted but is in your book, is the disposal portion of the conditional use request, which is the area out along the front of this project along Route 5 and turns a little bit along the, say, northwestern boundary or southwestern boundary, kind of in an L shape. That's where the disposal areas are. There are two existing disposal areas, each approximately 1.5 acres, that have a capacity to serve potentially up to about 1,000 units, and we plan to have some additional facilities which will not encompass more than 6 point, some small fraction, but approximately 6 acres, so approximately doubling the two existing areas within that that open space in the front of the community. The remainder of that area is to be community open space.
With reference to the RIBS area, we always ask this question. I want to get it on record again tonight. What will they look like?
Well, they'll look similar to they look what they look now. They'll actually be landscaped a little better. The fencing around the RIBS now is a temporary fencing. As the Beaver Creek community in this area develops, the fencing and landscaping will be prepared to complement the community. The rib areas are low bermed, very nearly level areas. The berms are 2 feet high. The basin is 2 feet deep, depending on grade. That may be just below grade here. The basins are slightly below grade, and the berms come a little above grade. but basically, it's a pastoral area, green space, but it is fenced, and people are not encouraged to come in that area. Signs are posted that say authorized personnel only.
And I would just point out for the commission that at tab 5 in the 1789 portion of the booklet, there is the site plan that shows the two rib areas that are not graphically represented on one of our boards. You do have a permit to operate this plant?
There's an existing operating permit that takes it up to the initial 272 units, which was the initial the initial mounding analysis, the initial geohydro analysis of the project. We're currently in the process of developing the additional geohydro analyses that look as though this project could potentially handle up to 2,000 units.
And if this permit were granted by the council and by the commission, what site plan changes would be made at the utility parcel as a result of the granting of this application?
There is an expansion shown, and there is a substantial potential. In fact, it was planned in the original design to have an expansion capability for the existing wastewater treatment building. This building is sized to hold three phases of our current wastewater treatment technology, and with the expansion, it's sized to handle three of the larger units. The existing units are 50,000 gallons a day. With the expansion of the building, it could handle three 100,000 gallon per day units. That would be 300,000 gallons a day, or on a strict design basis, 1,000 units worth of capacity. We are now working with some newer technologies, which are membrane treatment plants. You may have heard some people talk about those here. They actually use a much smaller footprint. So we feel confident that we can get the necessary treatment within either the existing building or the proposed expansion that's shown on the site plan.
If this permit were granted and you were able to do the things you just described, actually how much wastewater would be in any one of these buildings or the building at any given time?
The storage volume using existing technology is approximately a gallon of storage capacity per gallon per day of treatment capacity. So there'd be approximately 300,000 gallons worth of wastewater under treatment in that building using the existing technology. It would not be more than that using the more advanced technology if we were to go up to 2,000 units or 600,000 gallons per day. That uses a more compact treatment technology, though it still wouldn't be more than, I would estimate, 300,000 gallons worth of capacity in the building.
The wastewater that is being stored in this facility or treated in this facility may at some point in time accidentally be discharged. What protective measures are there in this building to keep it from infiltrating into the ground or into any adjacent streams or waterways?
Actually, there's very low possibility of wastewater discharging within the building. Everything is within constructed metal tanks. There's a highly automated system and alarms to keep any of that from happening. Should there be a spill, it would be a matter of immediate response and cleanup. The wastewater that would be discharged, the liquid portion would be treated. The concern is, or the issue is, it's in treatment, which means that there's biological material mixed in with it. And that would be what would need to be cleaned up. But the quality of the water would be most likely similar to the quality of the discharge.
Drinking water quality, Mr. Carball?
The water meets drinking water standards for nitrogen, but is not drinking water quality at the discharge. Once it is receives the natural filtration of wonderful Sussex County earth, approximately 100 feet away where a well would be able to be located, it meets all applicable drinking water standards, and I would be glad to drink water from a well 100 feet away from any of our disposal areas.
You indicated that, I thought I heard you say the word alarms, just as did Mr. Pender. There is a monitoring system in this building?
Yes, there is.
And will there be any on-site employees who will be present operating the system?
Similar to the water facilities, we have wastewater operators. This is a highly automated facility. Operators are not on-site full-time or even necessarily daily, although they are there several times a week too. In the wastewater side, it's a matter of more than just checking the numbers and writing down readings. It's a biological treatment plant. We do a number of tests to kind of check on the health of the biology in that treatment plant. But that's only done periodically.
And I take it that you actually have employees who are ready for emergency response, and that's part of the protocol of your company's operation of these plants.
Yes, we have a network of operators. They are all on 24-hour notice so that there's always somebody available to respond in case of alarm. And there is a 24-hour monitoring system that picks up any alarms and makes sure that personnel are dispatched.
And a question similar to the one I asked Mr. Pender, and that is, in the event of an emergency, you have an emergency power source in order to keep the plant running under emergency circumstances?
As long as he's got an emergency generator to make water, I've got an emergency generator to get rid of water.
You're sharing the same emergency facility?
Yes, there's actually a single emergency generator, since we're right here on the same site, that serves both the water and the wastewater facilities.
Will you take a look, please, at the exhibit that's sitting on the floor and leaning up against the easel? And if you'll move it to the top shelf, describe for the commission what is the certificated or proposed areas of service that belong to the wastewater side of this application.
Yes, the exhibit shows those areas which are in red. We have certificates to serve both water and wastewater, and green are those that we have certificates to serve wastewater only. Now this, for reference, this does include a fairly broad area. Artesian is in the process of developing a series of regional wastewater facilities that will give us wastewater capacity essentially through this entire corridor. That includes down furthest to the south our Stonewater facility, in this area our Heron Bay facility, across here both the Island Farm and the Beaver Creek facilities, and then up to the north the Sussex County North Regional facility. One of the main reasons for the regionalization of the Beaver Creek facility is that the developer of the Beaver Creek communities would like to be able to continue working in this area with other off-site projects. The Beaver Creek project itself, its phases are all interconnected and contiguous, and do not require conditional use to serve those with wastewater. But any of his future projects would not be contiguous and would need conditional use to extend wastewater service.
Thank you. Gentlemen, that would conclude our presentation, although I would like to invite Mr. Price up if he dare drink a glass of water. I have submitted with each application proposed findings of fact and conditions. The conditions are relatively simple because the one thing I think that Mr. Johnson and I have learned over the last couple of years in doing wastewater treatment plants in his region is that there are a whole lot of other governmental agencies that have a lot to say about how these particular functions operate, and the best we can articulate is that if this is approved, this application will be subject to those governmental regulations and that the site plan is within your purview. We have heard the conditions that have been suggested by Mr. Ashman on behalf of the engineering department. They are certainly acceptable to us. I won't bother you with all of the six conditions that are required for findings of fact in a conditional use application, but what I do want to point out to you is something that has happened here earlier this evening that I think points out the benefit of these two applications and perhaps the one that you will hear after we're here done this evening, and that is that the uses that we are proposing, wastewater and water, are public or semi-public in their nature. They are desirable for the convenience of the citizens of Sussex County. They avoid state spending requirements, and they minimize themselves by way of having any impacts on the neighboring properties. How this ties into what we heard earlier this evening goes to the Herholt application, where the application came in with 99 proposed septic systems and 99 proposed wells. And I recall vividly that a question was asked about how is that efficient and isn't there a potential harm or hazard to any one of the other 98 owners. And in fact, I think the question was posed also, isn't it easier to do one operation than it is to do 99 separate operations? That's what these guys do, and this is what we've been presenting to you for the last couple years. We don't necessarily promote growth, which is an issue in this county, but we certainly follow growth. And if these facilities are in concurrent with the growth in our county and they're able to provide the services that they typically render, then I think the citizens of Sussex County are well served by private enterprise. I'm going to stand down. The three of us and Mr. Price will be available for whatever you have for us.
Well, our answer, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for pointing out about the other agencies that might place conditions on you, but as you know, I like to place conditions too, Mr. Schrader. And I almost asked the chairman to rearrange the order of the hearings tonight, because I would have liked the engineer to have heard your comments that you just made about one, you know, sewer treatment plant versus 99 units. With those comments, Mr. Pender. I have a couple questions for you, sir.
Mr. Pender, by the way, I just want to let you know that we are telecast live on the internet. There's probably 2-3 million people watching you right now. Just thought you'd want to know that. No pressure, of course.
Pizza's coming.
You want Dennis to stand up there next to you?
Okay, I'm ready.
What aquifer are you currently pouring the water from?
That would be the Beaver Dam Formation.
And what impact would this expansion of your water have on that aquifer and nearby neighbors?
Actually, there isn't any nearby neighbors. I think we're probably 1,500 to 2,000 feet away from the nearest. Well, there would really be no to minimal impact on any neighboring well. And given with the allocation permit, it will be evaluated what impact that would have on the present aquifer. But there won't be any significant impact on the aquifer any neighboring.
Would it be safe to say the aquifer has been fed by the Beaver Creek that runs adjacent to your well?
Is there a fed by or influenced by? It may be influenced by. I can't say whether it's fed specifically by the Beaver Creek that runs near the plant.
And are you familiar with the history of Beaver Creek?
Not entirely.
And the pink water and the chicken parts that used to float past your current well that you have drilled?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. It's something you might want to keep testing for, because that property has a long history of pink water and chicken body parts floating by.
We actually have automated systems in there for water quality analysis. It's continuous monitoring there, so we'll definitely keep an eye on that.
Okay. Thank you. I gathered you weren't a local resident, so I thought you might want to be aware of that history.
In the development. I live in Beaver Creek.
There you go. Well, Mr. Pender, are you done there, Mr. Johnson?
I'm done with Mr. Pender, yes.
Okay. I think you hosed him. Okay. Who else did
you want? It's true. I'm serious.
Who do you want next?
Let's talk about the ribs. And currently as I ride by, I see your ribs and I see a lack of landscaping and a lack of a real fence. When would you anticipate a real fence and some real landscaping?
The Beaver Creek developer, Georgia List Group, is currently developing their plans for the initial phases of construction of units on this third phase of the development. Once they do that and start to develop their landscaping plan and how they're going to do everything, I would imagine that's about the time that the landscaping would move into the rib area as well. I believe the agreement or the understanding is that that they have a contribution and a say over what the landscaping is, so that it matches with what they're doing in the subdivision itself.
So that landscaping and the fencing is their responsibility, not yours?
It's a shared responsibility. It is our responsibility. Those are our facilities, and they are our responsibility. I will not shirk any responsibility. But contractually and within agreements, we share some, under our agreements, we share some responsibility.
In examining your plans here with my magnifying glass, I noticed words called variable width landscape buffer. How wide is that variable width landscape buffer going to be? And what are you talking about in terms of type of landscaping?
Let's see, what
That's on section, Exhibit 5. And you might need my magnifying lens to see it.
I at least have my own little ones.
It's actually on the, it's on the first one. Let me pose the question another way if I can, Mr. Johnson. Is that the, what shows up as a variable width landscape buffer, was that something that was required on the final site plan for Beaver Creek, or is that something that you're proposing as part of this conditional use?
I can answer that. It was required on the subdivision.
It was.
30-foot buffer.
30-foot buffer.
I apologize. Lawrence had a note in here that the
The plans for these utility parcels were taken from the subdivision plans and prepared by McCrone, which was the subdivision engineer for the project.
So he must have missed that condition of 30-foot.
He picked that up and transferred it from the subdivision plan.
Lawrence had a note in here in both files that the 20-foot access shown impacts the 30-foot buffer approved with the subdivision.
So there is a 30-foot buffer requirement then, I guess, with the subdivision. And there is a 30-foot area minimum that we're set back. In fact, there's that plus our berms are then approximately another 20 feet, which can be landscaped as well.
Okay. And Mr. Abbott, does it make any, does the record plan for this development, does this show any buffer between the ribs and those lots that back up to those existing ribs?
I'm not sure. I don't have a copy of the subdivision plan with us.
Okay. Because that is one of my concerns about, you know, expanding the ribs for the future disposal area is how close those ribs might be to those lots that back up to that. While I understand it's drinkable water that's going to be sitting there, I don't know, the residents want to look at it? Or
yeah, they don't have the... they're... the... the ribs were actually there first, and the subdivision then kind of... There were some adjustments in the subdivision, so the subdivision was redesigned and brought up to the ribs, a distance that the subdivision engineer and the developer felt was comfortable for the marketing of those lots. The primary ribs are the one set of ribs, which those are actually six active ribs there, and those will be in place. The remaining ribs, there will really only be three additional active ribs, and there'll be three areas set aside as potential spare ribs. Not the same. future replacement ribs.
If I could interfere for just a minute, Mr. Johnson, because I think what you were asking was whether or not there would be any water that would be standing in the rib area.
No, I realize that that's what a rib is, a rapid infiltration basin where you won't have the standing water. But my concern was the distance between the ribs and the adjoining properties that back up to that from the subdivision. And I may have missed that in when that redesign of that project came through, so I don't remember. And am I correct in that, Mr. Schrader, I think you probably were here with the conditional use 1747. That's when we did the previous...
that Island Farm right here.
I don't know if it's Island Farm or what it is. It's off of near Cool Spring.
Probably yes, that's Island Farm.
Okay.
That's Island Farm.
That one you're putting an elevated tank.
On the water side, yes.
Yeah, but this one you're just talking about using the current tank that you're using?
There's a ground storage tank.
Yes.
I'll let the water guy.
Yes.
So you're not adding a bigger tank or...
No. We'd connect
so
this
we're not
system
dealing with a tower,
to the Island Farm system.
So I don't need to worry about putting conditions on that one, Mr. Schrader.
No. Not asking for that.
No.
Okay.
I believe the elevated tank was specifically requested as part of the...
With the other one.
When
right,
the
1747
when we did the Island Farm, we made specific requests for the elevated tank.
Yes, you did.
In this case, we did not ask for an elevated tank.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I didn't miss something. And
stuck to 88, 89.
I'm trying to, sir. but they brought it up. It's all interrelated. This one's being served by that one, so it's supporting
each
other.
Each life touches another.
Yes, it does. That's right. It comes in handy. With the various subdivisions that you are seeking approval or have approval to service, will you also make available to the residents that are not in those subdivisions but are along the roadways or whatever?
That's a two-part answer. One of them is that the certification from the Public Service Commission may require us to do that, and that's not a problem. Part two of the question is, that is also in a county sanitary sewer planning study area, and we cannot tell you yes without the blessing of the county engineering department. And I think Mr. Robertson will agree with that answer.
Yeah, I think that's true. But what you're saying is if everything comes in line the way it could, you'd be willing to serve those folks along that.
If the county wants us to serve us,
with the appropriate approvals, you're willing to serve.
That's not a problem.
Okay.
But under the current scope of the law, I think there's a question as to whether or not we could do that. It's an unresolved question, Mr. Johnson. It would require the county's participation in that decision.
And since I have you up there, and this is not related to this project, but just for my information, when you put in a central sewer system, how many units do you have to have come online before it's functional?
You know, as the engineer for these systems, this is an issue that gets discussed quite a bit. Our operators have found that they can operate. Most of our current systems are batch operated systems, which means they treat a batch of water. And the collection systems and the pumping stations, all we have the ability to store up some water. So even if there's a very little flow, we can store up some water and then create a batch that will properly feed the wastewater system. So from a biological engineering operation system, we've had very good luck operating these systems at very low flows. From a business standpoint, and a financial standpoint, often it's better to wait a little bit and not make the full capital investment. Sometimes there's a brief period while units are coming online where we pump and haul. And what we do is we use that storage capacity in the collection system to store wastewater and then haul it to another wastewater facility.
Thank you. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Just one. What would that number be on the pump and haul?
On the pump and haul number?
Number of units that you would...
We have usually a phase of collection system. Most of the ones that I've seen are somewhere in the 20 to 30 units is the number of units that can be effectively stored and handled in the collection system. And that should be plenty to get the wastewater treatment system up and running for most of our. I can't speak for every situation, every utility, but a number of the pump and hauls that I've done come up to about somewhere between 20 and 30 units of capacity in the collection system phase, and I know we've had good luck getting our treatment plants up and running with about that kind of a flow.
Gordy,
no questions.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If a resident of Beaver Creek decided that they wanted to try to get a private well drilled just for lawn irrigation, wash a boat, car, anything, does your approval do anything to negate their feasibility?
I'll let the water guys answer, but I believe there's an allowance to allow them to do that for...
Yes, it is my understanding that, yes, they will still be allowed an irrigation well.
And they can pump without having to pay any financial to you?
No. They pay their electric bill.
Thank you.
But they would require a permit to get that well, and the well could not be connected in the household or
Understood.
It's strictly for irrigation.
I think that also would depend too. Sometimes there's restrictive covenants that prohibit that too. I don't know what Beaver Dams.
That I don't know.
That's all.
That it? Okay. Mr. Couch.
No question.
Okay, Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Council.
No questions.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we thank you.
If you'll stand down for a second, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application other than those guys in the back.
They might be opposed to it.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1788 or 1789? Anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1788 or 1789? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of the evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning, and we will recess for 5 minutes.